Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Bomb Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 456, I get to welcome to the show Ralphie Jacobs of Simply On Purpose.
I'm still learning, and I'm willing to make our relationship a priority over your behavior. I know that's like a huge pill for parents to swallow, is to make the relationship a priority over the behavior, but it should be. Because if your relationship is attached and strong and loving, then the research says is that, like, no matter with the floundering that's going on in adolescence and all this crazy stuff that happens there, if they have a loving home where values are taught, then 80% of them will return to those values in adulthood.
Ralphie grew up in a home with 9 kids. Her dad was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when she was 5, and her mom got a job, went back and got her PhD in education. And Ralphie also went and got her education in early childhood. Ralphie is coming on the show today to share some of what she shares daily on her amazing Instagram account, Simply On Purpose. She has over 600,000 people who follow her there. And what I appreciate is she talks you through not just the theory of positive parenting, but really practical tips and things you can say. And even her kids get involved sometimes. So today, she is helping us understand what makes positive parenting different from any other style and why does it matter? I will say that after this conversation, it definitely influenced my interactions with everyone in our home. So I hope that it is an encouragement to you and that you are inspired to continue to follow Ralphie and check out even her new course she has called Calm in the Chaos. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Ralphie, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. So good to be here.
I'm thrilled to get to introduce listeners to you and your work and to get your help, because I haven't done an episode on anger management or positive parenting in a really long time. But I know when I was in the season of having littles, I could have really benefited from what you're sharing. And I know I was desperate for information like you're sharing and I couldn't find it. So I'm so thankful you're out there and I definitely want to connect people to you. So I'd love to hear a little bit about maybe even how many kids you currently have, what their ages are, and then how you got into positive parenting.
Yeah.
And then you're going to just teach us all.
Yeah, all the things. Sounds good. So I live in Austin, Texas, and my husband and I have 4 daughters. Their ages are 20, which I cannot believe. And then a 17-year-old, 14, and 10. She just turned 10. So that's their ages. And how I got into positive parenting is I graduated in early childhood education and learned how to teach children the way that they learn, which is my passion. That's my favorite thing, is to teach children. But when I had my own kids, I saw this big chasm between where I wanted to parent and where my ideal parenting looked and where I actually was performing as a parent. And so I dug deep into all the parenting philosophies and came up with the gold star of parenting, which is positive parenting. And I just was like, why don't more people understand about, you know, and know about this kind of parenting, this philosophy, which is this beautiful like synergism of neuroscience and behavioral science, and also what intuitively feels right and feels kind and gentle and loving. And so I dug deep into it and got to know it really, really well. And then I started teaching in my community and more people heard about it. And so I was teaching more and more locally. And then I just decided, well, where are moms? How can I get a megaphone? And so I decided to switch my handle to Simply On Purpose, my boring Ralphie handle, and started Simply On Purpose. And that was 7 years ago. And I've been doing Simply On Purpose and teaching positive parenting, teaching about family culture. And I just am really, really honored to be the one that a lot of families go to find tools and help their families thrive.
I mean, I can relate to the, I did the early childhood degree and just this ideal I had, and then the reality hit and I find myself just not being the kind of mom I wanted to be. Like, control became so important to me. Everybody getting it right and me like forcing them with my own anger and tone. And so I love the pot that it resonates when I see any clip you share on Instagram. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But help the listener figure out what's the difference between positive parenting or like gentle parenting is a really popular term right now.
Yeah.
I come from a Christian faith background, so grace-based mm-hmm. parenting, like all of these terms, I'd love to know what differentiates positive parenting.
Positive parenting is just how it sounds. Instead of using all of our energy and our time to fix behaviors and to stop children from doing things that we don't like, we totally turn the tables around and we pay attention to what our children are doing well. So the research says that it works far better to modify behavior, to look for what children are doing well, than to try to wane or like weaken behavior by telling children what they're doing wrong. So that's just basic. Mm. That's the basic foundational principle of positive parenting. So parents learn really well how to be in control of their behavior. We practice that a lot because we understand that we're the model for all behavior. That goes back to like our primitive brains, and that children look to us for all behaviors. And then we also really hone in teaching our children. So teaching them in positive ways, ways that will help create positive association with good behaviors, so that they have intrinsic motivation to do behaviors because they know that it makes them happy, it's enjoyable. And then looking for what's good, using our energy to reinforce good behavior, because we know that behavior that's reinforced is behavior that is strengthened. And we just really don't want to strengthen all the negative things. So instead, switch over to paying way more attention to what your children are doing right.
Yeah, I really have. I remember thinking, I need to point out what's going well.
Yeah.
And with four boys, it would be like, nothing is going well. I cannot find anything that is going well right now. It's such a hard thing for my brain to do. And so, do you even teach people like, how to notice what's good? Or is that just a personality type? My personality does not notice
you. What's going right.
Or I know our brains are always scanning for what's wrong. Yeah. Like that's a normal neurological thing.
Yeah, it's like the default of every single brain. What is going wrong?
For survival.
Yeah. What's going wrong? There's something going wrong, and I'm going to find it and I'm going to fix it. It's such a natural default. But like the thought of how to train brains to look for what's going right is there's so many invisible things that kids are doing right. We chalk it up to as it should be, you know, leave well enough alone. I hate that phrase, by the way, leave well enough alone. Because if you leave well enough alone, it's never going to get better. It's going to get weaker because children who are starved for attention will go to any lengths to get it. It's better for a child to get negative attention than to get no attention at all. And so if a parent can just for one day, this is what I say, like for one day, start looking for what your children are doing right and say something about it. Just for one day, say, I love what I'm seeing. I love who you are. And you are an incredible person. And I appreciate all of the things that you're doing to make my life enjoyable and to make our family better. Their behavior will improve tenfold. And that's really self-reinforcing for a parent, is to just be like, oh, things are getting better. And guess what? I'm no longer walking a path of scarcity and not enoughness and everything is going wrong. I'm starting to look for things. And not only is their behavior getting better, but mine is getting better because now I'm walking a path of gratitude for what is an abundance of life. It just changes the way that we feel about parenting too. It's so much more satisfactory. It's full of joy. It's just a much better way to live.
Yeah, I used to say like, I wouldn't want to spend a day with me, like pointing out, if someone was around who was me, pointing out constantly all the problems.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't want to be with me.
Yeah.
and I didn't like that version of me, and I couldn't get out of it. So this is hopefully helping someone who's in that place. I saw one video you did, just to go along with what you're saying, that said if you want your kids to stop fighting, like you talked about how behaviors are linked, and like tell that story, yeah. How behaviors are linked.
Yeah, it's a fascinating truth that all behaviors are linked. You can't isolate behavior. You can't say, okay, I'm just going to treat this one behavior and that only that behavior is going to be affected by the consequence that I give or the reward that I give. It's not possible. They're all connected like links in a chain. If you pull the chain forward, they all move forward. So with that truth being known, you can go up to your child and say, I love how hard you've been working on your handwriting. Your handwriting is getting so good. That is going to improve her behavior later on in the day and decrease the probability that she'll hit her sister because she's just feeling better about who she is. Again, good behavior generalizes. If we can just realize that truth, that if we prophesy goodness, we shine light on goodness, it improves all behaviors, not just the good behaviors, but even the behaviors that our children struggle with, because it gives them strength to work on their weaknesses. If they don't have someone giving them strength, shining light and saying, you are good, and here, let me prophesy all of the great and good things and speak to the goodness that's in you, then how are they going to have the strength to even get better at the things that they're not doing well? And I mean, I know this is, you're nodding your head because it's like true for you. It's true for me too, right? If somebody's always beating me down or if I'm beating myself down, I have no strength to get better at anything. And so it's completely the same with our children. We need to, I mean, recognize that. And sometimes, like you were saying, I wouldn't want to be around me. Sometimes I think like what would it be like to have me as a mom? What would it be like? Mm-hmm. And if I wouldn't want to be my own child, then maybe I should change my behavior. Maybe I should look at it and be like, I should probably behave in a way that I can respect. And then I'll be happier. I'll just be happier with myself. I'll be happier with life.
Whether I'm doing a quick eye makeup situation for a day on the go or a full face glam for my 25th wedding anniversary, I'm just thankful that my Thrive Cosmetics hold up and last through the day, especially because they are 100% vegan, cruelty-free, clean, skin-loving ingredients. They perform really well and they have uncompromising standards. What's also fantastic is I know that when I get products from Thrive Cosmetics, I am giving back to communities to help them thrive. Whether it is those who are battling cancer, whether it's women who or men who are surviving domestic abuse, so many different communities are thriving because of how Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds back to them. Now let's talk about the products. Okay, you've heard me over and over and over again talk about the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara, and it is fantastic, and I use it every day. I want to talk about today the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It is a highlighter stick that I can use so quickly to make my eyes brighten, open them up, and give me an instant eye lift. I can apply it to the inner corner of my eyes. I can use it as an eyeshadow for a little daytime. They have metallic shades if I want to do a little smoky eye. And it's so easy. It's easy to blend. They have 16 different shades. Highly, highly recommend these Brilliant Eye Brightener sticks. So check those out if you haven't and you're already a fan of the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. Now, maybe you've never tried Thrive Cosmetics and I'm like, why not? Remember, Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. So right now, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/DMA. That's Thrive Cosmetics, and it's spelled out CAUSEMETICS.com/DMA, and you will get 20% off your first order. So have you found, because I know people are going to say, well, what do you do? This is always the example when we're talking about parenting. When they're about to run in the street, you're going to say, I love how you're running so fast. like how do you manage situations that need correction or a word that's not positive. And I can imagine what your answer is going to be, but.
Oh, you can?
The naysayer. I can imagine that if the world is full of positive, that the time that you need to correct it, your voice is more impactful and that they will listen to you versus like if there's nagging voice all the time, it's like, rah, 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 rah,
right,
Snoopy.
Yeah.
And they might not hear you say, don't run in the street. I don't know. Yeah. But what would you actually say?
Well, I just have so many thoughts. First of all,
okay,
parenting is naturally very reactive. And what I'm trying to teach parents is to be proactive, is to sow the seeds now, today, so that in 2 weeks when you do need to tell your child, stop, they will listen to you because they believe you, they trust you, they're connected to you, they're invested in the relationship that they have with you, all of those things, right? So positive parenting is not focused on what's happening now. It's focusing on act one. Like what happened before this? What was the prompt? What happened well before this so that we can change our behavior to help the child be successful in, you know, tomorrow or the next day? And so that for sure. As far as like, don't stop when it's dangerous, it's absolutely our responsibility to keep our children safe, to keep everyone in the home safe. That's including you. It's our responsibility to keep everybody safe. And so you are going to have to say stop or no, but think of ways that you can say yes now so that your no means something later. That's what I would just say. It's figure out how to get to yes. How can I get to yes? Like, okay, you want the cookies? No, we can't have the cookies. Wait, how can I get to yes? Yeah, you want those cookies. Cookies are delicious. I love cookies too. We can't have them today, but we can have them on Friday. And I can't wait to bake those cookies with you. So figure out a way to get to yes and invest in that relationship. I just think that, yeah, we always run to like those extreme negatives. It's really interesting because one time I was teaching this concept of like the dinner bell, because I don't love yelling, even like yelling for my kids to come to dinner, like get into dinner. Like everybody's like spread throughout the whole house. And I was like, oh, I just hate like yelling and trying to like, it just feels frantic and like frustrating to have to yell. And so I was like, I'll just do a little dinner bell, like ding, 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 ding. And I was teaching this concept of the dinner bell, and automatically parents were saying, well, what if they don't come, even when you ring the dinner bell? So it's always like that assumption of they won't, or it's going to be bad. And if we walk again, this path of, are we assuming negative intent or are we assuming positive intent in our kids? Is it just because they were playing with their Legos, something that we bought them that we want them to play with? It's like has all this wonderful small motor and brain development within it. And they're just in deep play, which we're like crossing our fingers and toes that they'll actually do because it helps them keep, you know, be self-regulated and go off on their own and be autonomous. And now we're ringing the bell and they have to stop immediately. So to just assume that a positive intent and not like a negative intent and not immediately jump to they're going to do the negative form of what I'm trying to teach because they know that you feel that way about them. So if I'm like, you're going to do great. I'm going to ring the bell and you're going to come in a minute. And then we're going to say prayer. We're going to sit down to dinner and it's going to be great. Then they'll be like, yeah, it's going to be great, Mom. I'm going to be a rock star with this. So
it seems like it takes a minute or two, or maybe you got to give it a while to turn the ship.
For sure.
Like if this has not been the tone and assuming positive intent and speaking in this way, it's going to take a while. Cause I can imagine like for my family right now, that seems so far from where we currently are with teenagers and middle school boys, like a positive environment feels very distant most days. So, but I think that to give the person listening, like you don't just try this for the one day and be like, well, it didn't work. I rang the bell. They did the negative thing. It's like, I think it's like a Titanic ship that you're trying to shift. If you don't have tiny ones in your house and you're basically changing the culture of your home.
Totally. You are changing the culture of your home. You're changing it foundationally. And that's, that's something that's difficult with parenting is that we want the band-aid, right? We want to figure, okay, what's the strategy? What are the words? Give me the script. to fix this issue that I'm having. My kid's fighting over his phone, or he takes the car when he's not supposed to, or they won't eat, or they don't come to the dinner table, or they're back talking, or, you know, they're having huge tantrums. Give me the Band-Aid. But the only way for there to be lasting change is for you to not get the script, but for your mind and your heart to change, for you to decide, I don't want to do this anymore. And long-term, what kind of a relationship do I want to have with my children? It's really sad how often young adults just don't want to talk to their parents, don't want to go home for Christmas. That happens way too much. And so for me, it's just like, I'm willing to sacrifice my ego and my pride and say, I don't know what to do here. I'm still learning, and I'm willing to make our relationship a priority over your behavior. I know that's like a huge pill for parents to swallow, is to make the relationship a priority over the behavior, but it should be. Because if your relationship is attached and strong and loving, then the research says is that, like, no matter with the floundering that's going on in adolescence and all this crazy stuff that happens there, if they have a loving home where values are taught, then 80% of them will return to those values in adulthood, because they just learn through all of that drowning and swimming that home was consistent, home was safe, home was the place where I felt loved. So it is a total shift. You are turning the ship.
Okay, I don't know if y'all do follow me on Instagram, but last week I shared a picture of me in a dress I bought in 1998. And y'all, I could wear it. And you know why? Because of my Honey Love Sculptwear. I was comfortable, and this miraculous thing happened because of Honey Love. And so support for today's show comes from Honey Love. Whether you are headed to a formal occasion this summer, maybe a wedding, maybe you are the bride, I need to tell you about Honey Love's shapewear if you've never tried it out. Super effective. They have their best-selling Superpower Short. It is a go-to because it has targeted compression. So it's not like it's pulling you in everywhere. There's certain areas that need more support and areas you don't need it. So why squeeze things that don't need squeezed? They have a signature X that targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. And it works with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. And you don't have to worry about it rolling down, you know? They have this boning that's hidden in the side seams, and that might sound uncomfortable, but it's not. It's totally, totally comfortable. And there's also a little booty lifter, okay? There's boost bands on the back of the thigh, which give your little booty an amazing shape. And I know, let's talk about it. You put on the shapewear, and then it's time to go to the bathroom. Well, guess what? They have a little cotton gusset, so you can just wear the shapewear. You don't have to wear undies. And a little opening in the panty area for super easy bathroom use. No costume changes required, okay? Now, it doesn't just stop there. You've heard me talk about how I love Honey Love's really comfortable bras and tanks and leggings. Really, truly, the Honey Love bra is my go-to on a given day. So with Honey Love, it's just as easy to put on as to take off. It shouldn't be hard. Why don't you check it out? Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market. Save 20% off at honeylove.com/DMA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/DMA. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them that I sent you. Move with confidence, thanks to Honey Love. So you have this Calm in the Chaos course that people could be a part of. Is there something you could give us, some tips or some piece of that today? Like, if someone listening's home is chaotic, which, hey, welcome to the club.
Oh, hey, we're all here.
You're not the only one, okay? Don't mom alone. You're not alone. What's some tips so we can find some of that calm we're looking for?
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest tip that I can say in like a few minutes is that wait for their thoughts to change, for their behavior to change. And that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Like for the kids or for the parents?
No, for your own thoughts.
For your own.
Yeah. Okay. For your own thoughts. So they'll say, oh, I'm going to wait for my thoughts and my feelings to change before my own behavior changes so that I don't yell, that I, you know, don't freak out, don't blow up, don't make, you know, a mountain out of a molehill. And that's never going to happen. Our thoughts dictate our feelings and our feelings dictate our actions. And the only way to jumpstart that is to change your action, to flip the pattern backwards. And this is brain science again. It's called a starting ritual. So you pause just long enough for the pattern to be disrupted and for you to actually intentionally think about what you're doing. So change your behavior. That looks like instead of marching up and pointing a finger, you get down at the child's level and look at him at, you know, eye level. Or you put your hand over your heart and you take three deep breaths. Or you say a mantra out loud, like, it's okay to be five. Or listen to the right story, Ralphie. Are you listening to your story? Are you listening to your child's story? So all of those are starting rituals that can just stop your brain pattern long enough for you to do something different. And so that's probably my biggest tip is don't wait for your thoughts to change. You've got to change your behavior first. So behavior changes feelings, which changes thoughts. So I'll give a quick example. Let's say that your child refuses to go to bed. And, you know, and you're like, your normal thought pattern is like, what a pill, right? She's making my life hard on purpose. I can't believe she's not
literally
going to bed.
Last night I said, Do you want this every night? Every single night. Every single night.
I know.
This is the same.
Every night.
I literally said that last night. Do you like this pattern? Do you want to do this every night? That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what should I do instead?
I love Jim Gaffigan when he talks about all the time. He calls it like a reverse hostage situation. Yeah. Or he's like, if you would just stay in there, I'll give you anything you want. That's true. Like bedtime is like that. And you're not alone. Like everyone. In fact, I'm going to do a webinar on bedtime because bedtime is such a struggle for so many families. But
everyone's so tired. It's not our best versions either.
Tuck. Oh, that is so true. Mm-hmm. You're tired. I remember like a dad that once said, it's not about how tired you are, sweetheart. It's how tired you're making everybody else. And so you need to go to bed so that everybody else can get a break, basically. So
we just need a break. We need rest.
Yep. All right. So she's not going to bed or he's not going to bed. And you're like, what? So your thoughts are what? What are your thoughts, Heather? When they're not doing it, when they're not going to bed, your thoughts.
Some of the thoughts are, this is going to make tomorrow morning waking you up harder. Why are you not choosing to do what we're saying? There's a lot of whys or like, I feel the ripple effect pressure of like, this is so important for you to do because X, Y, and Z, like externally, a teacher is going to say you're not paying attention or you're not going to be successful here because the ripple effect is you're not getting enough sleep because you have older brothers and you think everybody stays up till 10 and you can't do that. So, but I also like, I think I do get to those just basic, like what's wrong with you? That's the shame message that can come to my head. What's wrong with you? Or why are you doing this? You know, I just need you to listen.
Yeah. Why aren't you listening to me? Why are you making it harder? I'm ready. I'm really ready for a break. I should be having my break now, but I'm not. It's not happening the way I planned. It's not happening the way that I think it should happen. Things are going wrong here. And so all those thoughts are creating a feeling. So we move from our head to our heart. Our thoughts create feelings, which is anger, right? So you're getting angry while you're having these thoughts rolling through your head. And that anger produces an action, which is you yelling, right? Or like, get upstairs right now, you know, whatever it is, like, stay in your room. I've had it. I'm taking away your blanket or whatever it is. And so our thoughts create feelings, and our feelings create action. So to create a new pattern, even though we don't feel like it again, we cannot wait to feel like it. Even if you don't feel like it, begin with your action, change your behavior. So reverse the pattern, do it backwards, change your behavior, move your body, get down at the child's level, breathe deeply, say something that's empathetic, not angry. Say something that's kind, like, you've had a long day and you're not sure how to wind down. Sometimes I feel like that too. Do you want me to scratch your back while you're laying in your bed? So something that's different, change the pattern and do something that's going to help your body calm down. That behavior will change your feelings. Now, if I just say, when I'm saying things like that to you, right? Like, you've had a hard day. I will come in and scratch your back, and then I'm going to shut the door and say goodnight. If I'm just saying things like that, it produces compassion in me, which is the feeling that's totally the opposite of anger. And then my thoughts are going to be brand new, and it's going to be, yeah, she's trying her best. She's figuring this out. This is a new behavior for her, and I need to be the one that's the confident leader to guide her through this and stay calm too. So it just is completely different behavior, and a different emotion and a different thought that's created in those two different scenarios. So don't wait for your thoughts to change. Start with your behavior first. There's a saying that's, you can't think your way into a new behavior. You have to behave your way into new thinking.
That's good. Okay. I know we have to wrap up soon. So is there any last thought you have for people who, I mean, I could even imagine bedtime tonight, they're going to try this and they're so calm and positive for the first two tries.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah. And then
it doesn't work. Yeah.
So what?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And I know that's reality and that happens too. But this is what I want to say is that even if your child does not do what you ask, if you stay calm, you won. You won.
Yeah.
You win. Even if they didn't go to bed till 11, you win. Don't base your good parenting on what your child does, only on what you do. Okay? So it's very easy for parents to do that. Yeah. It's very, very easy.
That'll preach all the way into 45 years old for your kids. Like,
We do. Everybody does that. And so you'll never feel like a good parent if you do that, because every child's going to do stuff that you don't like. And every child is a huge variable, right? They come with temperaments. It's on their genetic coding. We don't have control over those things. We only have control over what we're doing and the influence that we give to our children and the environment that we create. They are in control of themselves. But I tell you what, if we control ourselves and we control the environment, they get so much better at controlling their own behavior, because they're watching us and they're in an environment that's encouraging and thriving.
So good. Well, y'all, this is just the tip of the iceberg of Ralphie's goodness. What I love, Ralphie, that you do on Instagram is how you, instead of yelling, say this, and you like act it out for us.
Yeah.
Because that's what I felt like. I might know the theory or like the why, but when it came down to brass tacks and two boys are fighting, I didn't know what to say. And so thank you for those scripts. Y'all go check it out. And I'm so glad to meet you. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Heather. It was fun to talk.
Now, one thing I want to address, I'm so thankful to Ralphie for bringing these things up, is the possibility that based on what she said, you're feeling some guilt. Maybe you haven't parented. I know I haven't parented in the way that she is suggesting is best for our kids. And while that may be true, what we want to keep from happening is shame attaching to that guilt and making you feel like you are wrong because you didn't know what you didn't know. And maybe you're responding from a natural human instinct, like she said, to see what is missing, to see what is wrong. And I just want to encourage you, just say, hey, you know what, guys? I have not been parenting in a way that is enjoyable for me or for you, and I'm sorry. And I'd love if you'd give me some grace as I'm trying a new way. And just say that out loud so that shame doesn't have a chance to attach. I'm going to pray over all of us and pray for God to guide us in this. Lord, oh, so much of what Ralphie said aligns with how you parent us, that it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. It is your compassion for us. It is your love that said, you know what? I'll come to you. And you sent Jesus. You got low. You came on our level. I pray, Lord, that we would pause in whatever parenting style we have been using, that we would consider some of what Ralphie said, that we wouldn't feel that shame, that we would ask you what fits our family and what doesn't. We pray that you would give us gratitude for what's going well, that you would open our eyes to see in a new way, to connect and to prioritize relationship, which is what you have consistently done. As Jesus came and he saw people and he loved people, I pray that in that we can see shifts in our family culture, in a culture that might look different from the world around us, that might be this beautiful, fragrant scent that our neighbors notice and our community notices and says, "Wow, what's different about them?" And it's you. And it's you giving us peace in what we could maybe parent out of fear. I pray for my own home. I praise you and thank you for already a shift I'm seeing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. Thanks for joining me. I know I say it, but I don't know. I don't know if you sign up, but on Tuesdays I send out a little note telling you about the episode for the week, telling you what I'm thinking about, sharing some of my favorite links. We've also been uploading some new videos on Patreon. Did you know I had a Patreon? I haven't really been active on it while I was launching all the books, but I'm back and we're doing little videos over there. Would love for you to join us over on Patreon. But yeah, if you want to get notes from me on Tuesdays, just go to olaheather.com. Ola starts with an H like Heather. And you can sign up and I'll drop in your inbox on Tuesdays. And I'd love to connect with you that way or over at Patreon, patreon.com/don'tmomalone. All right. See you back here next week. Adios.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.